This message really started in Africa, because in Africa, the Lord began to open up the book of 1 Peter to me about hope and faith and stuff. And so what I want to do is tie all this together into this season, because I think some of our newer people that have been coming probably don't know very much about Advent and Advent candles and the lighting of them and the symbolism that's with them. And so as I shared some things with our school and everything, the Lord just began to really open things up to me in a deeper way for me. So, and I can only share what God does in my life. That's my only hope that it makes any sense whatsoever. So we're going to be spending a lot of time basically in 1 Peter, in the very first chapter, if you want to turn to that. If candles that we light in Advent, there's five total. They each one have their own name. And most of them, I've never really thought about that. Other than the name, you know, but I never thought that there was like a progression that made sense. And so we've written the first two candles that we've already lit have been, the first candle is called the hope candle, and the second candle is called the faith candle. And then Sunday, they'll be lighting the third candle, which is the proper name is rose. A lot of us call it pink, but and that candle is called the joy candle. And then the fourth candle is called the peace candle. And, of course, the fifth candle, which is the tall white candle, the Paschal, we use as a Paschal candle also, is the Christ candle. And so in 1 Peter, let me just read this real quick. I'll start with 6, I guess. In this you greatly rejoice, even through now. For a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials or temptations, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. So that kind of covers three of the candles in that sense. But the first one, the hope candle, and I really wished I had like 30 minutes to spend on each candle, because I mean, you can just preach forever on hope, faith, and joy, and peace. But I really want to think about the hope candle, because being in Africa, one of the scriptures that I used a lot was the Christ in you being the hope of glory, being our hope. And then the other scriptures that God is the God of hope. And on one thing as I've contemplated this, as I feel pretty certain of now, is that you will experience hopelessness, either before you're a Christian or after you're a Christian. You know, there's a lot of Christians, you know, I try to formulate my theology here that before you became a Christian, you'd have hopelessness. Well, I know people that didn't have that experience. You know, they had a good life, they lived in good families, and but God just sovereignly came in and revealed to them their need for a Savior because of their sin, very simply. But even those people sooner or later will experience moments of hopelessness in their life. Because it's only if you've experienced hopelessness can you really experience hope. See, without knowing hopelessness, you don't know real hope. It's kind of like a foreign thing to you. Because the hope that it talks about in the Bible is not a hope about things. It's not a hope about getting more, having more, being more, or any of that. It's a much deeper hope. It's a hope for everything. And we think about the time of history that Jesus came in. It was one of the most hopeless times in history for the Jews. They were in their homeland, which you would think, well, that's better than being in Babylon, but not really, because they were, for the least little thing, they would be put to death. For the least sign of rebellion, they were being taxed into non-existence, into starvation. And so the Jewish people, as a ruler, they were pretty hopeless. They didn't really have any much hope other than the coming of the Messiah. And so they were all looking for that coming of the Messiah for their very hope. And that's kind of where we have to get to. At some point in our life, we get to this place where my only hope is Jesus Christ. Now, I'm probably the worst case in history, because I seem to come to that place at least 3 to 6 times a year, every year, of this hopelessness. I just can't get it lodged totally in my head that He is all, and that my only hope is in Him. I keep kind of thinking, well, no, you know, if I work hard, if I do the right things, if I say the right words or whatever, that life will be good. And it is somewhat until God goes, you've gotten off track too far. And He brings me back through the pressure of hopelessness. to realize that my hope is in Him, in Him alone. Well, now the funny thing about hope is you can have hope and have no faith, but you can't have hope very long without having faith. That's why the second candle is the candle of faith. Because once you experience hope, and you have this hope begins to stir things and feed into your spirit faith in Jesus Christ. Because the cycle for me is usually hopelessness. Oh, God, I know. You're my only hope. But I don't know how this is going to work out. It's terrible. It's just, yeah. No. And then somewhere in there, because I have a hope, I begin to believe, I begin to have faith that whatever the situation is that's been brought me to this place, which I've been brought to hopelessness in every possible situation, in situations that you go like, why would you be hopeless about that? I don't know, but I can be. So, but it's because God loves me. See, God loves me. And He cannot bear me living without hope. I think it kind of tears Him apart. Just like us with our children. When we have children, they go through things and they have those days, you know, like, I'll never get out of school. I'm going to flunk it. You know, and they don't have any kind of hope in their life. It just eats at us, right? Because we love our children so much. And the amount that we love our children is so minuscule to what God loves us. So anyway, hope bursts faith. And when you have hope and you have faith working together, it brings joy. Now I've got, and I'm not going to do this. I want to do this, but I'm not going to do this. I've got all these scripture references that I could give you for all of this kind of stuff, but most of y'all know your New Testament better than I do probably. But those things produce joy, you know. And one of my favorite verses, the one that, you know, joy unexplainable and full of glory. Have you ever experienced that? Where you're in a situation that probably was hopeless at one point, and you got hope, and you've got faith, and these things are working together, and all of a sudden, it's like, this is like fun now. And this joy comes up in you, and you're going, and sometimes you're going like, this is, like, people are going to think I'm crazy. You know, they're going to think I'm really nuts here, because what's visible is horrible. It's terrible. But I'm happy. I have joy in all. That's what faith and hope produces, is joy. And then when we have that real joy bubbling in us, and it's a joy that's unexplainable, and it's full of the glory of God, and it's not something we've produced, it's not been produced because we got a new whatever, a new iPhone, or a new car, or a new sweater, or new shoes, or new, whatever. It's produced only by the presence of God Himself in our life, changing and doing things and creating stuff out of nothing. He creates our faith out of nothing. And He creates this joy out of nothing. And if you try to process it in your mind, you get confused because there's like, how can you be happy in this situation? The first time that I experienced that situation in my life, I had broken my back, crushed 3 vertebrae in my back. Didn't have I was working at a job that was kind of sketchy to start with, framing houses. So I fell off a building, crushed 3 vertebrae. I don't even know if I've got insurance of any kind that's going to pay workman's comp or anything. Then I'm laying in bed. I've told that you cannot pick heavier than 1 shoe. And you're going to be this way for a while. And I live from paycheck to paycheck. And so I was looking at no money, no visible way of getting money, because I was sure these guys didn't have workman's comp. But as it was, they kind of illegally got workman's comp through another guy kind of thing. And so I was at least got a little bit of money. But I was in this place of utter hopelessness. I mean, I couldn't afford to miss 1 paycheck in my life. It meant I missed bills. And I found myself with the Lord just praying and talking to Him about that. And joy just rose up inside me. And I was like, oh, this is going to... And so I, all of a sudden, I had this mindset of, this is going to be so cool. This is going to be so cool. Now, I've got a separated sternum, a sheared radial head of an elbow, 3 crushed vertebrae, no money, no job prospects for like 3 to 4 months. And I'm going, this is going to be so cool. There was a couple of people who looked at me a little odd. But what I knew was that I would see God's glory. Because this was so far past hopelessness, you know, that was just like ridiculous. And so I was like, okay, God, I can't do nothing. Hallelujah. At least I can't mess this up too badly. This is on you. Go have at it. But it was weird. I give you that, to have this kind of a joy. But I've been reduced to nothing but Christ in that situation. And that's really where he wants us to live, you know. And so here I am laying in, I don't know if you've ever had a separated sternum, but it's horrible. Because when you breathe, it hurts. When someone else breathes, this hurts. You know, it just hurts. Like I said, the radial head of this elbow, that's why this arm, that's it. That's as straight as it ever gets. Was totally sheared. Three crushed vertebrae. But I had the greatest peace. I had a real peace. In the midst of all of that pain, it was real pain. You know, it was real broke, too. But I had a peace. And that's what hope, faith, and joy brings, is a peace. Because you've reached a place where it's Christ, and that's all it is. He becomes the all that is all. He becomes truly the Alpha and Omega for your life. So when we look at our candles in the progression of faith, of hope, faith, joy, and peace, I think that's amazing. Is that as the Advent season developed and the candle thing developed, that the Holy Spirit was handling all of that. I mean, they could have done, I mean, like a good evangelical would have been faith, right? Love, you know. He'd have named the candles differently. But the Holy Spirit knew. And so he gave us this example of how our Christian life is working at all times through this season of Advent. And of course, the center candle is Christ. It's always Christ. He's always in the center. If he's not in the center, it doesn't work. You know, it doesn't work. You can pump up all the hope, all the faith, run around tickling yourself for joy and all that kind of stuff, and it doesn't work unless it's centered purely, completely, and totally in the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we continue to light these candles, I hope that it gives you something to contemplate occasionally as each candle is lit, is like, what does that mean? How does that affect my life? What does it mean in my life? And amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.